Now off we go to rejoin CBS Radio.
This is George Herman at CBS News Space Headquarters in New York. The flight of Apollo 13, a crisis aboard now. The flight to be aborted and to return to Earth as soon as possible. At 3:43 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the astronauts hope to try a burn of the descent propulsion system, which was to have put them on the moon. Now they hope to use it to sling them a little faster around the moon, bring them back for an emergency landing on Earth. My colleague Bruce Morton, standing by in Houston. Bruce, what is the latest word?
Well, George, this burn that you were talking about is really the first of two. This is a relatively small burn. They keep slightly changing the number of feet per second as the thing slithers around a second or two this way or that in time. But it's, 15 or 20 feet per second, which, is, as you know, is a very modest burn. What it does is to put them back into a free return trajectory. That is, if they were to stay on their present trajectory, they would miss the Earth coming back by some 50,000 miles. This small burn puts them back in free return, which means that if they don't do anything else, they will still come back in a trajectory which would allow them to land on Earth. What they hope to do later is to make a larger burn, the trans-Earth injection burn. That will be done at about 9 or 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tonight. That's the big hurry-up burn, which is designed to shorten their journey back to Earth by approximately a day over what it would be if they just did this little one now and then left things alone. Sometime between this first small burn and that second larger one, NASA is going to have to make up its mind where it wants them to land. There is a choice now between the Atlantic, where there are no ships deployed and where the landing would be at night, but which would shorten the trip by some 9 hours, or the Pacific, where, of course, the carrier Iwo Jima is waiting for them. Obviously, NASA would much prefer the Pacific. That's daylight. That's the carrier. But they've got to be absolutely sure before they make that decision, before they make that burn this evening, that there is enough of everything, enough oxygen, enough electrical power to stand that 9 hours longer trip. George?
Bruce, what is the word on the consumables? I am sure, as you say, that that is the major worry. How are they doing? Is there any late word?
Well, the best statement we had, I guess, came, I've lost track of time this evening, an hour or so ago, when Chris Kraft and Jim McDivitt and Sig Sjoberg, who is in charge of the flight controllers on this flight, held a joint news conference, and they were all very firm. There is plenty of oxygen in the LEM. There is plenty of electrical power, although they will have to be frugal, I think was Chris Kraft's word, in using it coming back. Jim McDivitt said that they could run an average of about 25 amps an hour on the way back. Now, for peak periods, they're going to have to use more than that when they have the computer up to do a burn, for example.
Yes.
That means they will have to be stingy at other times, dip down below that 25 amp per hour average. But
they have,
all
I gather,
three of
plenty
these
of
men were very firm in saying that as long as the situation remains stable, remains the way it is now, there is plenty of everything for the astronauts to get back. If something goes wrong with the LEM now, on top of what's gone wrong with the service module, of course, that's a new ballgame. But as things stand now, they think the situation is under control. The backup crew has been in the simulator for over an hour now, checking out various combinations of this burn and that that might be tried. Things like, would it help if you dumped the service module, for example? That's something that's never been done on a flight before, but it's being thought about tonight. But to repeat, and to sum up, they feel that as long as things stay the way they are, there's enough of everything for the astronauts to get home.
I suppose the key words that to keep haunting us all from what you've just said, Bruce, are what has happened. Is there any new thought, or will there not be any new word from NASA until the next news conference on what actually did go wrong to cause that big bang aboard the loss of electrical power?
I don't think there'll be any word even at the next news conference, George. Everybody was very interested in what went wrong as long as it looked as if there were a chance of saving the fuel cells. There wasn't a chance of saving the fuel cells, as it turned out. Two of them ceased to function, and then with the oxygen leaking out, there wasn't any way to get the one that was still working in operation for any lengthy period of time, and they finally just shut it down. And at that point, they really wrote that off. The problem was what to do rather than trying to analyze the cause. The two explanations that have been floating around here, neither with particularly better ground than the other, are first, perhaps it was hit by a meteorite second, perhaps there was an explosion in bay number four. There are a lot of tanks, various gases in there, all of them stored under extremely high pressure, and an explosion in any one would obviously do a lot of damage to the whole bay, and something obviously did do a lot of damage.
Okay, Bruce, thanks a lot. I hope we'll be coming back to you a little later on to get the latest word after this burn, perhaps, at 3:43 a.m. That's just about 5 minutes or a little more from now. During the course of the news conference to which Bruce Morton has been referring, the controllers, Kraft and McDivitt, the ground controllers, were asked how they think the crew must feel.
I would only guess that the crew feels that the situation is under control, that that they were in a serious condition, and they knew they had a job to do, and I don't think they stopped to consider what their personal feelings were at the moment. You'll have to wait and see how they felt about it themselves. As far as the wives are concerned, I'm sure Deke Slayton has talked to them, but we have not.
I think when you're in a spot like that where you're busy and you have a lot of things to do, I think you just go ahead and do them, and the crew's been jumping back and forth between spacecraft and firing systems up and down and maneuvering around quite ably in the spacecraft, and they've had the situation well in hand, so I think they've been probably too busy to sit back and...
Certainly they have remained very calm and responsive to the discussions from the ground, and I'd say they have the situation well under control.
Approximately 5 minutes now until the burn, which they hope will change their orbit by just a trifle, speeding them up by about 10 miles an hour, bringing them around the moon in a sort of a slingshot operation and back to the Earth. In another studio in our CBS News space headquarters is astronaut Wally Schirra. Wally, what do you think they're worried most about at this point?
Well, I'm not even sure that this burn will be conducted on the scheduled time. I think it was 3:42:43 seconds Eastern Standard. The reason I say that is that it appears to me that they're having some difficulty getting into the proper attitude, aligning their optical telescope, getting the data from it to go into their onboard computer in the lunar module. And if this is the case, of course, the burn will not be elected at this time.
What's the next option?
There are many, frankly. What this is described as I would say it, is sort of a tweak burn, where it's a minimal burn. I think the number is somewhere around 16 feet per second. That's approximate, but
yes.
A larger burn in lieu of this could be made in the back of the moon, which isn't the best place for observation, at least from constant communications with Earth. So then there are burns from that point, in other words, between these two points that could be made, each one becoming larger as they get around the back of the moon.
What's the nature of the difficulty in alignment at this point? Is it the lack of electricity, or what's the problem?
Well, first, Lovell needed time to find a good technique for controlling this total combination. And that has been relayed up from the ground using the onboard autopilot of the LEM to give it better logic for roll, pitch, and yaw. And that the LEM wasn't designed to control itself plus the command and service module.
I think the question that everybody sort of has in the back of his mind, we understand the astronauts are always prepared for everything. Were they really prepared? Did they have fairly detailed contingency plans for something like this?
Well, this is one of those far-out ones, and as Chris Kraft just said, this is one of the... this is the most serious mission problem we've had so far. The only fortunate thing that I've been saying, and I'm convinced of, is we have lots of time, which gives us an opportunity to diagnose every next step we make so it's done exactly right with the most efficient way. And it must be efficient, and we don't have... we can't afford to waste fuel and waste time as far as attitude changes, and of course there's nothing worse than making a burn that would cause them to come closer to the moon.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot, Wally. I think now we'll listen to NASA more or less as we prepare for what we hope will be a burn at 3:43, although as we understand from astronaut Wally Schirra, it is not essential, and the change in course and velocity to be accounted for by this burn, which Schirra calls a tweak burn, a small, perhaps 16 feet per second, that's about 11 miles an hour, could be accommodated in a major burn when the combined spacecrafts are behind the moon from our point of view, in a better point for changing their orbit from their point of view as they seek to align their spacecraft. Let's listen for a moment to the conversation, rather sporadic and rather terse at this point.
Roger.
between the spacecraft and Houston. About a minute and a half to the burn. This is a burn, incidentally, which is to use the descent propulsion system.
Okay, master, I'm gone. 1 minute.
1 minute. To the burn.
Roger, Aquarius, you go for the burn.
Well, that sounds good. This is a burn of about just under 31 seconds in duration. Voices in the silence as the astronauts and the ground controllers together struggle to deal with what they've called as serious a situation as we've ever had in manned space flight. Waiting now for the burn and for confirmation of the burn, which should come.
40%. Okay, Aquarius, you're looking good.
Jack Lausma in ground control. The burn once again, nearly 31 seconds.
Auto shut down.
That's the end of the burn, apparently. Shut down. Automatic shutdown.
Okay, you're looking at 1685 now, Jack. Okay, you're going to residuals. Proceed.
Okay,
when you say going to residuals, you mean don't trim them, is that right?
That's affirmative. No trim required.
Roger. Okay.
The computer's aboard ship and on the ground checking the new velocity. Which the Aquarius engine has given the Odyssey Aquarius combination. It's been like this ever since the emergency began. Extremely calm, matter-of-fact voices relaying between ground and the spacecraft the details of this considerable, you can't call it a disaster, except a disaster from the point of view of the space plan, disaster to the plan, aborting of the mission. But the words back and forth have been terse, largely confined to, Roger, we understand. Or perhaps to repeat that. As you
can. Aquarius, check your master arm off, please.
As Houston and the ground have checked back and forth, comparing the data from their two sets of indicators and from their two computers. At the moment, as Bruce Morton informed
you. Okay, Houston, burn complete. Now we have to talk about power down and what do you want us to do with the thing?
Roger, we're looking at that right now, and you'll be the first one to get to work.
And we'll get it right with them. The problem at this point being, once again, to conserve the electricity, which is used in all the guidance systems, which they use to get the proper attitude and to control the length of the burn, and, of course, to compute it. Now, once again, powering down to save electricity aboard the command and service module.
And, Houston, it's doubtful right now whether we'll be able to see the stars in this configuration. The only way we could possibly get alignment is with the Earth and the Terminator, or the Moon and its Terminator. power down. We are keeping the pings if at all possible.
In astronauts explaining that power down as they are, they cannot control the attitude
Roger,
well
Jim,
enough.
We'll get the word for you.
Astronaut Lovell saying that they cannot control their attitude well enough to sight on the stars, that the only navigational aids they'll be able to use will be the Terminator, the light between the line between light and dark on the surface of the Earth, and the Terminator, the similar line but far sharper and easier to see on the surface of the Moon. Celestial navigation, use of the stars, apparently out of the question at this point, because it is so expensive in the use of both fuel and electricity. The astronauts, once again, about 220,000 miles from home, preparing to circle the moon around the, what we would consider, from our point of view on Earth, the back of the moon, firing their descent propulsion system, the engine which was to have slowed the lunar module down in its orbit so that it could land, firing it in this case not to slow them down, but to speed them up a trifle, and to make their orbit not a circular one around the moon, but a sort of a slingshot maneuver using the moon as a tether to sling them around the moon faster and start them back towards Earth. Sort of returning to their original hybrid orbit, which would have taken them out to the moon, using the moon again as a tether, slinging them back towards the Earth. Now the controller...
And Houston, we're in an at-home mode. Can we turn off the buses?
Lovell asking for permission to turn off the power buses.
Stand by on that one, Jim.
Well, all well. The burn of the descent propulsion engine system apparently a success. The spacecraft moving into its new orbit, designed to bring it back toward the Earth after this first burn. We'll be back with more word on this continuing crisis aboard Apollo 13 at 1 minute after the hour. This is George Herman at CBS News Space Headquarters.
This is Franklin Hobbs. This is 830 WCCO Studios, Minneapolis, St. Paul. The time, 10 and a half minutes until 3 in the central zone.